Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figus Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update, sponsored by Suzy Q's, a brilliant jewelry maker that has some amazing things you can choose from, a full catalog of different items that are wearable all over your body. God, that sounds a little dirty. bracelets, earrings, necklaces, there is the link in the description. Go check them out. We'll follow them on Instagram because she's constantly posting up some new pictures. In fact, this last week she posted up this amazing bracelet that's so intricate and awesome looking that might have to pick one up for myself. If you do not have one, you should have one as well. Give them a look. The weekend, the week has come and gone, and here we are in the middle of June already. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. But time is just all kinds of messed up right now. You feel like things are moving slowly, but God, it's already June and not a con to be found. In speaking of which, cons, Emerald City is out. Rocky Mountain Con is on. Emerald City announced today, actually, this just got handed to me out of the bullpen, that they are not going to be opening the doors this year. They had moved from March 2020 to August 2020, of course, to hopefully try and give themselves some time to, you know, let the world recover, let things kind of return to a certain sense of normality. That is yet to happen, so Emerald City has decided to postpone until 2021. All tickets are going to be refunded by June 29th. So if you purchase tickets or if you're a vendor, I'm sure there are different situations for vendors that they've spoken with, and you probably have the chance of just rolling it over. I know a lot of vendors that are not in a situation that they can roll over the funds that they probably sent for Emerald City, because they saw a list of comic shops that are just permanently closing. And it's scary, it's frightening. The collector market has definitely taken a direct hit during the COVID. So, Emerald City deciding to be safe rather than sorry. The safety of their patrons, the safety of their guests, all around, just wanting to make sure no one is in danger. So, August 2020, scratch it off your calendar if you haven't already. It is done skis. It is kaput. But in other news, Rocky Mountain Con, who we are affiliated with, and we work very closely with Tim to cover and to promote and all of that, they are going to be happening in November. They are still holding to their dates. They are going to be announcing guests. There is already one in the pipe that I'm aware of, and it is awesome. It is absolutely amazing. So excited about who they're working on, who's potential guest. This is the fun part about a con. When you get to sit and kind of, you know, like, well, what about this person and what about this person? You just kind of just start shooting things up, you know, into the air. Okay, who can we get? What about this person? Nah, that one won't work. Or, you know, just the whole who do you want to see? Who do you think people would want to see? It's a constant struggle to try and get, you know, guests that everyone wants. Who would you want to see? I mean, if you got to do your own con, who would you want? Send me a message. I'd be curious, because who knows? Maybe at some point we can make arrangements and get them there. Get them close. Who knows? It's always a possibility. You never know who knows who. So what else? Oh, yeah, this week, Disney continues its trend of movies that were supposed to head towards the theater rolling over into Disney Plus. And I don't know if I'm happy. We sat and watched Artemis Fowl And I really walked away from it, both of us did, with the question of what did we just watch? Because during this, it just is, it's one, it feels like just one big setup. There's no real major, there's a major villain, but there isn't. You've got, you know, it's like the Wizard of Oz. There's somebody behind the curtain, there's somebody pulling the strings, and I had a feeling, I knew who it was, but we never see the villain's face. We never know who they are. So I know it's a setup for future films, which is what, you know, Disney's all about. They're all about having a series. I mean, look at Pirates of the Caribbean. That movie, I'm surprised we haven't seen the next installment yet. But they want a series. They want, as far, they beat this horse into the ground, they're going to. Artemis Fowl, of course, is based off of a popular children's series of books. I've never read them, and that's fine. From what I saw, the special effects and everything for the film are great. It is right in league. It is exactly what you expect from Disney, and a little bit more. I can see some influences from both Marvel and Star Wars in this film, with some of the tech, some of the special effects, a lot of what they have integrated into Disney and ILM coming over and everything that Marvel has produced, they have absorbed it well. But I still think, I don't know, like I said, I just, after watching it, I was just kind of like, meh, meh. I don't know if I want to see the next film. I don't know if I really would care. How it ended, it was just kind of like, okay, is that it? I mean, it just really left you kind of, okay, sure. I mean, the characters are great. Everybody in there is fine. But I honestly just think it was the lackluster writing. So I don't, eh. I mean, I don't, everybody was fine. It was just the writing, I think, just left it. I don't know if it's just so much in the books, and without having to read the books, and without Red here to tell me, you know, because I'm sure she's read them. I would be surprised and very taken back if Red had not read these yet. And I haven't spoken to her to see if she's actually even watched the show to get her take on it. But I don't, I mean, the setup and everything is fine, but I don't know. Like I said, just kind of walked away from it just like, well, okay, so who's the bad guy? I mean, are we going to see more? With Disney, who knows? I mean, because I thought, you know, the return on, you know, Tron was enough, but, you know, without a box office, and now that you're going to have to judge, you know, returns on streaming, what does that picture look like? I mean, you're talking about Disney, which is, let's face it, a very numbers-ran company. They are going to look at the bottom line and say, okay, we put out $100 million, we made $400 million, do we keep going on? And in the case of Tron, no. So with this, with no box office, and with, you know, finicky people, I don't know if I would be considered a finicky person, but I'm definitely a waffler right now, where I'm like, maybe I'll go back and watch it again, but probably not. I do repeat business? How many times it's downloaded? How many times it's, I don't know. I mean, it's such a weird niche and way to be. Because Onward was a hit, and, you know, Disney was happy with the returns on that, but again, without a box office, how do you judge it? Where's the gauge? Where's the benchmark? Do you just say, okay, if it hits, you know, 100 million views, then that's a win? If you get, like, increase in subscriptions, but everyone gets that first month free, so after the first month, everyone's like, ah, I can do without it, and Artemis Fowl sucked. So, I don't, it is just such a peculiar beast that they're letting out of the cage on this. But you already know my reasoning, you already know my thoughts on direct to streaming, and it just, okay. Also in Artemis Fowl was Josh Gad, who played this dwarf. I mean, the takes on some of the characters were great. The elves in Artemis Fowl were awesome. Some of the monsters even got to see a minotaur. I mean, there's some impressive special effects and creatures. So Josh Gad plays this dwarf, which was actually really humorous and took a really, really dark take on dwarves. Yeah, I'm very, yeah, that one was weird, but okay, it worked. It was very humoristic, and yeah, but speaking of Josh Gad, the whole reason I brought this up was just recently Josh Gad did another episode. I think he's up to episode 6 now of Reunited Apart. He gets everybody together from films to reunite, talk about the films, talk about things, see where they're at. We had the Back to the Future stream on a couple of weeks ago. I think it's probably now like more closer to a month to have everybody on there, which was great. You know, you get to see everybody in home. They're relaxed. They're comfortable. There's a lot of joking back and forth. So Josh Gad did the Ghostbusters one actually a couple weeks ago, but based on the political environment and everything that was going on, he held back on releasing this video because June 6th is the Ghostbusters anniversary when the movie was released in theaters. So, kind of held back. Now, release it. They have attached a new charity to it, and Barefoot, the wine company, has decided to also help donate funds to the charity. I didn't see which one he switched it over to, but it is up. It is hilarious. Bill Murray is actually there, which my money was Bill Murray was not going to show up, that he was just like, eh. He'd pull his, I'm here, all right, I gotta go. Or, you know, kind of like, just, you know, check in but not really be there, or stand up, or one of his brothers do it for him. But he was there in all of his glory. Everybody showed up. It was spectacular, and just made me miss the Ghostbusters even more. So if you haven't watched it yet, please do. It's worth, I think, 30 minutes. That they do it. I know they've had Lord of the Rings. The Lord of the Rings one was long. And it's just like, wow. But Josh has done quite the number on this. I'm very impressed with his approach. I like the interview. It's fun. It's kind of quirky. So it works well for what he's got going on. So, yeah. Very, very cool. Give it a watch. I think you'll like it. I really do. In other news, speaking of Disney and movies, and I don't know if this really falls into the Disney thing, but and it's been so long since we actually talked about this. This is way before anything blew up, and I know we broke this story like a long time ago, but Guillermo del Toro was doing Pinocchio, and everyone was really excited about this, and then all of a sudden everything just kind of disappeared, went into production, whatever it is. But Del Toro is working with the Jim Henson Company for Netflix to bring this to life. Well, it was just recently released that Ewan McGregor, yes, I said his name correctly, is doing the voice for Jiminy Cricket. And I was like, what? No way! So it was recent in an interview. It was Ace Universe that Ewan was doing an interview with, and he revealed that he's providing the voice in the story, and he also, I guess he was doing a lot of the recording for the film, but everything hit, and you know, it just kind of stopped. So I'm excited to hear him. I'm curious because he said he may or may not be singing a song. So I want to know, is it Wish Upon a Little Star or whatever? I was like, whoa. The rest of the story, basically there's not much else that follows this. Just Ewan talking about working with Del Toro. Pinocchio and how, you know, this poor innocent soul gets lost in a huge world he cannot comprehend. And it's just kind of a fun little uplifting story that I was like, okay. But they're still saying that Pinocchio is expected to release on Netflix sometime in 2021. I don't know where they're at with the animation process for Jiminy Cricket or what they have got going on, but we'll see. But yeah, I don't, and I guess with Disney not owning Pinocchio any longer, or at least this version, and that it's on Netflix, who can say how the quality is going to be? But I do have absolute faith, and I'm thinking the one scene that I really am looking forward to is when you get Pinocchio into the carnival, and because I know that's where Del Toro just flourishes with his storytelling and creatures, and will we see more than, you know, kids being turned into donkeys from the story? So I'm kind of excited to see where this goes. Live action Pinocchio would be kind of fun. Also, speaking of Netflix, Umbrella Academy season 2 has released its first batch of photos, and oh my god, look spectacular. It's hard to say where they are exactly. It looks like the 70s with the furniture and the decor, but it or maybe even the late 50s. It's really hard to tell with what images that they released. There's some dated furniture, but overall this looks to be spectacular. And there are some new villains that kind of get leaked into this. There's a trio of villains that they're saying that it will be chasing down the team and wants to take the Hargraves out. So they look very, very assassin-y. Evidently, they're Swedish. I didn't know Sweden's made assassins, but okay. I thought they just made chocolate and clocks. Yeah, that's all I thought. So the pictures, go check them out. I know that CBR has them up in addition to, I think it was Entertainment Weekly that also had these photos up. So give it a look. It's worth the view. I know we're still like a month out from Umbrella Academy, which is in a way kind of sad because I have ran out of things to watch. I'm absolutely up against the wall. I don't know what to watch. Stargirl is kind of like the only thing that I'm really watching in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I've already done my shakedown on. So what brings me to this week's shakedown, and next week I'll have music for it. I finally figured out what I want. Dun dun dun, explosions, boom boom. This week's shakedown is actually about a new show that came in after I was watching Holy Moly, favorite show right now. It's called Don't, and it's a Prodigy child. You may have heard of him, Ryan Reynolds. He came up with this idea, and Adam Scott is the host for the show. What I love about the show so far is, and it's only been one episode, and what they did right is Adam Scott, who is absolutely, it's Parks and Rec owning a talk show. It is amazing to see Adam Scott just interact with people. I saw him on Celebrity Escape Room a couple weeks ago, and, you know, totally missed the hell out of seeing him on Parks and Rec, and just the overall character. I really wished his one horror, wasn't really horror, it was like there were Ghost Hunters show had succeeded. Because I thought, I do like him as an actor. So him as a host for this game show called Don't is perfect. And you can feel the sarcasm just kind of creeping off of them, kind of like, okay, that's weird, you're kind of weird people. The family that they had on, definitely not the brightest crayons in the box, but they are entertaining. And they go through a series of challenges with the premise of don't get tired, don't use foul language. And it's not exactly what you would think it would be. So they go through these different challenges, and I don't want to spoil it. If you haven't watched it, give it at least a try to see if it's something. And I do like that ABC is trying to come up with something different for the summer. I know To Tell the Truth is back and it's actually funny. I've watched a couple episodes, and Elvira was one of the guests. Totally picked her out. Paul Rubens, who I couldn't tell because he was part of the cosplay group, and he was in costume, because of course you're going to be able to pick out Paul Rubens. But yeah, to see Cassandra there was just like, that's Elvira! And nobody picked on that it was her. Nobody picked it out. But anyway, I digress. With ABC doing the shows, the game shows, it's kind of fun. It's a little relaxing. It's like reality TV. It's completely entertaining. And Ryan Reynolds' take on ludicrous game shows. Because you've got Holy Moly, which is already Don't Get Eliminated. Extreme Elimination at its best and involving putters and golf balls. Now you get Ryan Reynolds behind giving great challenges to people that for money. That's basically what it is, and it's great. The best part of it, besides the people that they've had on, is Ryan Reynolds' voiceover, which I wasn't expecting. I honestly thought that they were just going to have, you know, like Steven Spielberg, you know, when they did Animaniacs, Steven Spielberg presents. I honestly thought this was a gimmick, some kind of hoax to get people hooked, but it's not. Ryan Reynolds actually does these voiceover moments or strange facts or comments of what's going on in the challenge. So while Adam is, you know, interacting with him, going off his cue cards, you hear Ryan Reynolds doing some comment or voiceover, and it is absolutely classic. The rundown that they have for this show so far, I'm actually excited to watch this week's episode to see if they continue with this trend, because it really feels like Van Wilder got a game show, and now is just going to punish people. And he's, you know, raising money for the swim team. It really works really well. So totally enjoying it. I can't change my words yet. We'll see if this week it will change, just because I'm going to get tired of it because it's repetitive. But for the moment, it's worth a watch, maybe two. And that's my shakedown for this week. Dun, dun, dun. Go to watch. What else have we got? Oh, I probably should have talked about this when we were doing cons. San Diego Comic-Con is going to be free. And is set for July 22nd. That's right. I said free. Actually, they are going to do a virtual convention, which is now set to take place on July 22nd through the 26th. And their quote is basically, for the first time in our 50-year history, we are happy to welcome virtually anyone from around the globe. The spokesperson for the San Diego Comic-Con, David Glanzer, though stay-at-home conditions make this a very difficult time, we see this as an opportunity to spread some joy and strengthen our sense of community. And that's great. I'm curious to see what a virtual con from the giant is going to be like, because part of it, I mean, you've got Hall H, which is the infamous hall that everybody goes to for the big announcements, for the big sit-downs, for all the celebrities. So will we see that? Is this going to be something new? I honestly will be curious to see what kind of exhibit they're going to have. And a lot of San Diego, of course, is the cosplay, which I don't know if they're going to try and work that in there somehow. And, of course, the dealer's room, which, of course, won't be available. I don't know if they're going to do anything as far as exclusives. They're saying that some limited edition products are going to be available, that they're going to be offering promotions from the exhibit hall, and you can go to comic-con at home, and there will be exclusive panels and that are relating to the comics, gaming, television, all of that. How successful this is, how bulletproof this is going to be, because if you get the world's largest con, streaming, what kind of lag and delay and how many people are going to be fighting for exclusives? I mean, I've been there and they've ran out of exclusives within 10 minutes. And that's just people standing in line. So how are you going to manage an electric queue? Especially if it's just everybody streaming and jumping in and trying to get stuff. I don't know. We'll see. Comic-Con at Home is officially set. While attendance is free, San Diego Comic-Con will provide badges for fans to print out and wear as they log into the virtual convention. So they're trying to at least give you a sensation of going to a con. And I do like the printing out of the badge, because let's face it, all of us probably have kept our badges from all the cons, and it's getting a little unruly for most of us. But to just kind of have it like, okay, I went to a virtual con, I printed the badge, I'm good to go. I think it's a great idea. I really do. With everything else going on, San Diego Comic-Con has said that they will be returning next year, July 22nd, 2021. And for any of the latest news and for everything else that's going on, you must subscribe to their YouTube channel for future content. And I'm sure that's probably where the streaming's going to be. And I bet there's going to be a link from the Comic-Con at Home for San Diego Con for you to watch, just to see what they got going on, how to stream it, how to watch it. I'm actually probably going to do this one of the days. I don't have anything else to do. I mean, there are no cons, and I want to see how they pull this off. I really do. I want to see if it actually is a train wreck or if it works. So I will give you the lowdown from the floor of San Diego Comic-Con, or actually probably the floor of my studio. I'll just lay down. I'm going to have wine anyway, so it really be just like me being at a con. Yeah, there you go. What else going on? In other streaming news, and this came as no surprise to me, of course, with everything from... Let's start at the beginning. Netflix, of course, has announced that season 2 of The Witcher will be coming along nicely. It's going to be in 2021 right now, but no specific date has yet to be announced. They have said that they are not going to have the multiple timelines running, and that it's just going to be one constant flow, which does not surprise me. And I kind of think that season 1 was a unique experiment, if not an opportunity to just kind of explore storytelling at its best. If you get around the whole when is this happening or try to work out the timeline, and Red's worked it out, I worked it out, it takes a little bit, but it's not hard, but it doesn't take away from the storytelling, it doesn't take away from the characters, and it doesn't take away from just how amazing The Witcher is, or was, or will continue to be. I guarantee it. The second season, I know, is where do they go? It's the bigger question. I don't really care about the timeline, and I'm not going to be surprised if we don't jump back in time to tell other character stories and perspectives. There's more to have. There's more to figure out as we get deeper into the lore of The Witcher and everything else that is going to be going on. So they did suffer a bit of production stoppage because of COVID. They began in February, but came to a resounding halt. They are scheduled to start again August 3rd to hopefully hit that deadline in 2021. I'm sure that they have not been, you know, sitting around wasting their time with, you know, just hanging out. I wouldn't be surprised if they've been working on special effects, been working on different stuff, and they did get some filming in, so they're clever people. They're very clever. They work on stuff. So I saw this, and I had to comment. I have to comment, because it is probably by far one of the most underrated horror films to date. It was in 1997 that this film came out, and it has probably some of the best crew on it, that work on it, that star in it, but I'm talking about Event Horizon. And it has been, there's a collector's edition that's been released to Blu-ray that's out. It's actually planned for September 29th. So I'm sure they're taking pre-orders, and there may be a digital download that is ahead of that if you want to get in on the bottom. But I want the case. I want all the extra stuff that comes with it, because this looks awesome. They're also doing a 4K version, which I don't know. So this film was already creepy as all hell. I don't know if I need it more lifelike, because the whole story with Sam Neill and his wife, and just how freaking creepy. I mean, space is already scary enough. Then you add going out to the middle of nowhere, a dead ship, and where the ship has been, and oh my god. It is gruesome, it is intense, and I think it's probably, I don't know, is it Sam Neill's best performance? One of his greatest? And Lawrence Fishburne is solid in anything he does. Of course, there's no beating him as Morpheus in Matrix, but just the whole, just him in that ship. I mean, it probably helped prepare him for Matrix, because I almost think the ship design is the exact same thing as the Nebuchadnezzar. But the whole interactions with him and Sam, and oh my god, it was, I remember seeing this in the theater and just flipping the hell out, because it was intense. There is supposed to be additional footage that is added to this, and there's extra art that they're including in the collector's edition that I am excited to see. And I'm, you know what, to be honest with you, there are questions. I mean, yes, of course, the ship went to hell, and or a version of hell on the other end of the galaxy, or however you want to, or another dimension, however you want to interpret the symbolism of where the ship went. But just the whole creepiness on such a small little stage is so perfect. But there was never a follow-up. There was never a sequel. And I don't know if it needed a sequel. I think a sequel could have been nice. I don't know what that would have built. And that's just it. I don't even know what a sequel to this would have looked like. Another ship. They get to Earth. They get stopped at a space station. I mean, what does it look like? And of course, you know, maybe the ship reappearing later after it gets sucked into parts unknown. Whatever, however that looks, still, huge underrated horror film, probably one of the best of the day back in the late 90s. And if you don't own it, here's the perfect chance, because I don't know if they did a Blu-ray release on this. I don't know if it's been out of print. I know I've got it on DVD, but for sure, gonna go for the 4K. I know I said I don't want to see this in real life, but I can't resist. There's just too much to avoid. Can't say no. But speaking of movies, and hopefully everything getting back to normal, other news that has come out recently is AMC has said that nearly all of its theaters will be open in July. There hasn't been a date that has been released yet, but they are hopeful that July will see the return of theaters. Thank God. I don't know what they're going to be showing. Cinemark, of course, is saying the exact same thing. I have also seen that Alamo is taking suggestions as far as, you know, what your favorite films are, what your favorite horror films are, your animes, all of that. So there's a wish list that you can send Alamo, and I'm sure that they're actually going to probably try and get these films to fill the void of just, you know, no new films yet. Because what are they going to show? The theaters are open. That's great. Let's go to the movies. What's playing? I don't know. But they got popcorn. I don't know if they've thought this all the way through. I don't know if they're working with the studios to see about it. Because, I mean, it's kind of a two-step process. The theater's got to have something to show from the studio. And the studio's got to have something to give them. So it's kind of a weird little thing. I mean, with the exception of, like, the only one that I know that's ready to go, that's everyone's chomping at the bit for, is, of course, Wonder Woman. And maybe, just maybe, they can move up the release date for Wonder Woman to get people in there. Of course, all the theaters are saying that they are going to adhere to social distancing, that vendors will be wearing masks, and everyone else will, you know, that is in relation to food and interactions with people, will be taking, of course, the necessary safety precautions to guarantee the best experience, as well as the safety of everyone, you know, attending. I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to eat popcorn with a mask on, so I'm going to think that a lot of the patrons that are going will not be wearing masks. I mean, it's kind of like when you go to the restaurants that are now opened. There's some weird distancing. I know last week when we went to J&J Comics for the signing, it took forever to find someplace that was open. It's old Seas, it's in the same parking lot, was done at 8:30 serving food, which kind of was disappointing because I could use some wings right about now. And the only other place that was open was Joe Palooka's, and they were already like cram-packed, and they're just a bar food. We're like, I need something up a little bit more from that. So we end up at TGI Fridays just down the street. And the whole bar is sectioned off. They've got chairs put up for social distancing, so you can't sit at the bar itself, just the pub tables. And even then, there are signs that say you can sit here or, you know, don't sit here. Everything's roped off. It was really weird. It felt like they were in the midst of a remodel, because with all of the tape and signs and all of that. But I, in the theater, I'm curious, are they just going to tape chairs off? Because, or a max party of two or four? That's where it gets kind of dodgy for me, and I don't know if they've thought this all the way through with the stadium seating. And, I mean, so a theater, especially when you're assigning seats, so are they going to be able to figure that out? Because not everyone does that. I know, you know, Alamo, of course, and Cinnabar, and AMC was kind of flirting with it. Some of the AMCs I went to were doing it. Some of the other ones were not. Regal was getting better about it. So we'll see. I think July is a little premature, but we'll see how it breaks down. Because I want to go see a film. I really do. I mean, as much as I love my home system, I'm really dying to be in a theater. I want some popcorn. Damn it, I want some popcorn. What else? Speaking of Tron and toy news, Diamond Select Tron Deluxe VHS action figure box set is a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive that you're going to be able to order through Diamond. They are taking pre-orders. The Tron Deluxe VHS action figure is basically set in a box. It looks like a VHS package from back in the day. The figure is 7 inches and includes multiple identity discs with energy effects and will react to blacklight. It's supposed to be released in August. The sticker price on this one is $39.99, and you bet your ass I'm going to order one, because that is awesome. The Diamond Select, for all its imperfections and whatever, have done a great job with a lot of the toys. The Black Hole toys that came out last month are spectacular. Vincent and Bob look better than I would ever have imagined. I mean, and I hold the Mego toy line for Black Hole in such high regard, especially with the molding for Vincent. And it just, I was like, how can you improve on that? And, you know, you're a kid, you're like, you don't know any better, because the Maximilian figure is rubbish. But with the new Diamond Select toy line, what they put into those figures is awesome. I know all Seas has them, as well as Time Warp, if you need to pick up, if you haven't picked them up yet. If you're a Black Hole fan, if you're a Disney fan, these are must-haves. The Tron figure, I'm sure you can contact your local comic book shop and get one pre-ordered for you if you have a pull. Or if you go to Diamond Select, I haven't checked their page out directly, but you might actually be able to pre-order directly from them, with it being the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. And this was originally supposed to release there. I'm sure they're just trying to backpedal and figure out how, because I'll guarantee the toys have already been produced. They're just not sure how to get them out there. So here's your chance. An exclusive that you won't be going to see. In video game news, oh my god, so the video game world erupted this week. Like, completely exploded, and I was not expecting any of what I saw come out. First off, Spider-Man Miles Morales game announced for the holiday season of this year, and the gameplay looks great. Insomniac is the engine behind this, and of course they premiered it during the PS5 event, completely focused on Miles. There's no hint of Peter, and it looks to be quite the spectacle. When I watched this, the graphics, the capture of the character is so impressive, so lifelike, and I can't stress the emphasis of how impressed I am with this. I honestly didn't think we would see anything from Insomniac doing Spider-Man. I mean, they did one back in 2018 that was okay. But I know that Arkham City is, you know, their big hit, and rightfully so. Arkham City was great. So I honestly didn't think that we would see much of, you know, them doing the Spider-Man fray, but evidently they're giving them the go-ahead. They are, I think this is only going to be a PlayStation 5 release. I haven't seen anything that indicates that we're going to see it on any other platform, but that's kind of disappointing, and I know that's kind of like that other Spider-Man game where it was just PlayStation, and I don't know. I still get kind of pissed off because I don't think it needs to be that way. The exclusive, you know, system game, it's only on this one. I get it with Nintendo, okay? Mario needs to stay on Nintendo. Let's face it, that's where his home is. That's where he lives. But when you're dealing with games like Halo or, I can't think of any of the PlayStation exclusives at the moment, but it'll come to me. There's no reason why you can't, you know, do multi-platform. There's no reason why, in this day and age, why you can't do it. I know that everyone wants to have their own little niche, but you're not only pissing off fans, and I think losing fans at this point, but you're just leaving a sour taste in the gamer's mouth. Because it's just, it's ridiculous at this point. I mean, I'm excited for a Miles game, don't get me wrong. And I know the last Spider-Man game was received with some great fan reaction. But in my mind, it's still just another Spider-Man game. You just change the character. I don't know if we'll see any of the other Spider-Verse characters in this. A lot of the plot has, of course, not been exposed or revealed. But again, I know for another generation, this is their Spider-Man, just as simple as Peter is mine. But I'm kind of a little burnt out on Spider-Man games. It's okay, but I'm curious to see how this all breaks down. Will we get like a full rundown on how Miles becomes Spider-Man? Will we see Peter facing off against Green Goblin just to end up getting, you know, smoked? Where are we going to see Spider-Verse? I mean, there are some cool questions that may come out of this. We don't know what the gameplay will be like, but I'm wanting, I don't know, I guess You get tired of just playing the same game over and over again. How many times can I, you know, do the achievements, the super swings and flips and all of that? It doesn't change much. I mean, I do like that at least with, like, the Batman and the Arkham games, even though it's still basically the same game, they did expand on, like, components, whether it was the Batmobile or gliding or toys. Some of the toys were the same, but expanded on greatly. So it plays right into the Batman mythos. It's perfect. But when you're dealing with Spider-Man, I mean, yes, Miles does have some better and more interesting powers, especially the shock and the invisibility, but I don't know. This one I'll be tentatively kind of tiptoeing around, waiting to hear what everyone says, but it might be one I kind of hold off on. The other game that, in my opinion, kind of blew it away with the trailer, and rightfully so, and I never, ever, ever thought that I would say this, but EA has got a pulse, has got Star Wars pulse. They released the trailer for Star Wars Squadrons, which I will include in the post, so you can watch the trailer, but it is spectacular. Oh my god. God, the graphics, the gameplay, and if it's anything like we saw in the trailer, this is going to be far and away one of the best Star Wars games. I'm excited to see what ships we get to play, and it looks like you get to do either both side, whether it is Rebel or Imperial, so you do get a choice. And that's kind of, at least I hope. And it's kind of hard to say from the perspective of a trailer, because you don't know what you're looking at. All you do is see a bunch of pretty pictures and ships going up in giant balls of fire in space. But the dogfights, the character design, when EA got the license for Star Wars, and let's face it, they have struggled with this title. There have been hits and misses. Battle Force has gone back and forth of good, bad, indifferent, and just downright trollish in gameplay. But with the release of this trailer, how this looks, the chance to fly just about everything. I know everyone wants the Millennium Falcon right away, but there are some other ships that I wouldn't mind kind of like tinkering around with. The U-Wing, which completely has me like engrossed ever since Rogue. Well, I guess it was in Rebels, then showed up in Rogue One, of course, so I'm kind of curious about that ship. Always a fan of the Y-Wing and the A-Wing. Can never play them enough. The B-Wing is always just kind of like bang. But and X-Wing seems overrated most of the time. The Millennium Falcon just is the Millennium Falcon, but always a little clunky. Anyway, I digress. This game is going to be released in October. And of course, for all platforms. Xbox One, PS4, and the PC. I can imagine what this thing looks like on a decent PC-created, or a game-created PC. I can only speculate. We'll see how it breaks out for Xbox One, since we're getting close to the new Xbox and everything that they've got planned. I would like to see this maybe go over to the new Xbox monster that they have coming, but it's difficult to say. What else? Yes, I guess it is a very Top Gun-esque journey into the game. Of course, you get to, it opens up with the X-Wing or a TIE Interceptor. It really is. If you haven't watched the trailer, be prepared to be blown away. And I can't believe EA did it. I expected EA to lose this license age ago, because they just were so, I don't know. It seemed like they were just out of their league. They kept fumbling. Maybe they have finally figured it all out. I don't know. But I guess one of the big key things about this is that there are strategic first-person 5 versus 5 multiplayer dogfights that you can do. So that will be different. So instead of, like, you know, what we were doing for Battlefield and all of that, it's just going to be strictly dogfights. Well, that could be kind of fun. There will be an EA Play for this Thursday, June 18th at 4 p.m. Pacific time. So you can go see what they've got for actual play. I'm sure you can go to EA's page and they will have that up. I don't know if I'm going to really go for it. I may just kind of wait and see how the reaction is before I get in it, because I'm too picky. I really am. Because EA, I've been burned by EA before. I have. But they continue to hold on, and I do have to admit, they pulled this one together. So I applaud you for now, EA. But I am looking very diligently at you. What about it? Does it work? Do I like it? Of course, the big bombshell that landed, that everybody just blown away for, is the first look at the PlayStation 5. Sony revealed its masterpiece just this last week, and I look at this, and all I can think is it looks futuristic. It really does look like something out of WALL-E. It kind of reminds me of Eva. I'm waiting for the arms and the eyes to come out of it. It is probably one of the most sleekest designs I have ever seen. And it's very minimalistic. It's very thin. Of course, it's white, which I'm kind of in between on. I really don't care. There are some very drastic differences from console to console. Some will come with a disc drive. And others will be completely able to just download games. That you won't have a drive to insert your disc in case you are going completely digital, which I think is a mistake. But that's a story for another day. In addition to, there are a lot of different accessories that people are talking about that PlayStation said, here's what you got. Unfortunately, there are no costs revealed yet. We don't know how much the console is going to be. We don't know the difference between console with drive, with disc insert or not. They are telling us that it begins with as far as accessories go, a DualSense wireless controller, which I would expect that you comes with one, but I'm sure you're not going to get an extra one, and that's going to be extra money. It also comes with an HD camera, plus a 3D wireless headset, and a media remote. I think that's great. I'm actually really surprised about the wireless headset. That is, I'm kind of, all right. And I'm not sure what a 3D wireless headset is, so I don't know how to take that. So is it kind of like surround sound headset? How that works? I don't know. They haven't said if they're going to be anywhere compatible or anything with PlayStation 4, as far as being backwards compatible and all of that with PlayStation 5. Most of the time, they say it will be, but that is so far off in the future, it never comes out of launch. I'm not prepared to see anything from PlayStation 4 be compatible with PlayStation 5. I'm really not. I know Xbox is saying that Xbox X will have backward integration for Xbox One, but again, it took forever with the regular Xbox or Xbox One to go back to being able to do 360 stuff and backwards compatible. That it maybe with the environment and everyone stuck at home the way they are, they might reconsider stepping that process up, moving it forward instead of waiting for so long to do it. I don't know, but we don't have a price. This will be out holiday season. I'm sure as we get through the summer months and PlayStation figures out its tactics and what it wants to do, we'll go from there. But it's pretty. There you go. That's my final takeaway for the PlayStation. It's pretty. Now let's see what it can do. And in this week, my take, speaking of which, restaurants that helped me survive the COVID. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up this restaurant. Explosions, boom, 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 boom. I haven't figured out the song for this one. If you got a suggestion, let me know. I would be very curious to hear what it is. But in the meanwhile, restaurants that helped me survive the COVID. Sakana, yes, am I saying that right? S-A-K-A-N-A, Sakana. They are located over in Westminster-ish. I'm not sure if they're in Westminster or not. Yeah, they're Westminster. Absolutely Westminster. They are, actually, you know what? I've been there a lot of times. Before the COVID hit, it was probably one of our single most favorite restaurants. And as we have gone around trying out different places, this is more of a relaxed Japanese restaurant that is serving sushi and ramen. And it's a fun, light, little environment. Now, ever since doing Ramen Throwdown over the last few years with Tawan and the Taste Buds stuff that we have worked on and we will continue to work on as things get back to normal, my eyes were opened up a lot with the different takes on ramen. And what they do, what Sakana does, is absolutely delicious. I don't know what they do for their ramen, but it is spectacular. They have a few dishes that they rely heavily on. They don't variate too much from them, and I think there's like a difference of 5 different ones. They are located off of 7520 Sheridan Boulevard in Westminster. And when you look at their page, it is just filled with some of the brightest, greatest looking food that you can ever imagine. And trust me, the pictures don't even do it justice, and that's really hard to do, because you're always like, well, how come it never looks like what it looks like in the menu? Well, I hate to tell you, it is better than that. The ramen, and I always have like this battle, this debate that goes on inside of me when it comes to what I want, because the sushi, always a must, but the ramen is so good. So you start out, I think they got like 5 different bases, and you can add, of course, different toppings to it, and it is, I'm actually surprised that we've never had them in the Ramen Throwdown, and I really wish that we could. Now, as much as I do love them, and I can't sing their praises enough about the ramen and the sushi, unfortunately, their dine-in has been closed. They're doing takeout only. And if you have far to go, the ramen is great, but doesn't, I mean, it's really good, but it takes away from not being able to eat there. So when we would order it and get it home, you know, it had been simmering way too long, and the noodles had gotten soggy, and it was just kind of like, eh. The sushi is perfect. In fact, this is something, when I have had the sushi there, is on par with a lot of the New York restaurants that I have visited. They've got their sushi game on point. I cannot promote their sushi enough. And it's kind of cool because the bar is like right there, and you see like half a dozen guys working behind it feverishly. These guys know what they are doing. And the best thing about this, and the one thing that I have noticed, is that there are Asian people there eating. If you have a Japanese restaurant, or if you are, you know, an Asian-based restaurant and there are no Asians in your restaurant, that's a problem. Most of the time, the Asians here outnumber any other clientele. So it speaks volumes to me and my experience that if they're in there, this is on point. So it's just not me and my, you know, uneducated ass going, sure, it tastes good. So give them a try. I think you will like it. I know that their hours are 4:30 to, I think, like 10. They are closed on Mondays and Tuesdays because, for reasons, they go fishing. They're a sushi joint. They got to go fishing on Monday. So give them a try. I don't think you'll be disappointed, especially if you're in the Westminster area. You'll like it. Trust me. I know what I'm talking about. Or at least I act like I do on TV. Anyway, that kind of wraps up this week's adventures. Next week, I will be... I already do know what I'm doing for the restaurants that helped me survive the COVID, because not all of it has been restaurants. Not all of it has been like some very fine dining areas. Because let's face it, fast food probably has flourished during the COVID. And rightfully so, because it's contact free. You can go about your business. You can pick up your food. You can go. So while I was doing this, I decided to do a little comparison with various fast food restaurants on a particular item. And next week I will be doing my take on that particular item on the restaurants that helped me survive the COVID. As far as the shakedown is concerned, who knows? May go back to movies, may do another one for TV, or do something entirely different. If you got a suggestion, you got an idea, please let me know. Give us a like, give us a share, give us a follow. We are completely platform friendly. iHeartRadio, Podbean, Android, Apple, you name it. We're like Visa. We're everywhere you want to be. So please, share us, like us, tell your friends about us, because we're more than a podcast. We're a way of life. So there you have it. Run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.